Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast, located in the heart of the Black Hills. Our focus is to live, grow, love, and serve for the sole purpose to make Jesus known.
Vision casting, or receiving a divine revelation from God, which is the definition of biblical vision, it's not an easy thing to do. It's really not an easy thing to do. We think it is sometimes because I can share all these ideas and all that kind of stuff. But vision is more than that. Vision, it's easy to speak dreams and it's easy to speak goals and things we want to see happen. But the hard part of vision casting or sharing a revelation from God, the hardest part is to get everybody on the same page. That's the hard part. I mean, if you're a leader in any organization, you know that. It's hard to get everybody on board. And listen, I'm not a car salesman. I'm not somebody who can sell, ice to an Eskimo. I can't do it. But I want to believe that God just speaks to me, speaks to you, speaks to all of us corporately as a church body, and we can run with it. Amen? Earlier in 2023, around August, I began really thinking about Kingdom Builders for 2024. If you don't know what Kingdom Builders is, I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But this is not something that I take lightly or feel that we should take lightly. Because Kingdom Builders, just like every ministry within our church, is vital to the eternal destiny of people. Kingdom Builders, we first have to look at as being, it's about people. It's not about money. It's not about what we can do. It's not about being flashy. It's about people. That's what the church is about. If it's not about people, we shouldn't be here. The church shouldn't exist if it's not about people, because it's always been about people. Everything we do at Bethel is about winning souls and helping people grow in their relationship with Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry." Do the work of an evangelist. It doesn't say be an evangelist. There are evangelists out there. There are evangelists, people that are called to be an evangelist that go around and preach churches and that kind of thing, which is great. It's one of the fivefold ministry of the church. But it says to work like one. It doesn't say be one. It says to work like one. Evangelize, win souls, share Jesus, make the destiny of the souls of man your top priority, that they may know him and have a place in eternity that is not separated from the presence of God. That's our goal as a church. That has always been the vision of the church, to see people come to Jesus that they might have eternal life with him in eternity. Amen? Amen? And you were full of energy a minute ago. We got to get this going again. People online, I can hear them right now. They're shouting me down. The Greek word for evangelist simply means preacher of the gospel. Preacher of the gospel. When you think of the words kingdom builders, what comes to mind first? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it pastors? Is it volunteering? Is it tithing? Is it giving? What is kingdom builders? Well, here's the definition of a kingdom builder. You ready for this? Someone who believes that God's work is not finished and that we are in partnership with heaven to see the message and hope of Jesus Christ spread around the world. That is a kingdom builder. We've talked about kingdom builders and how being a kingdom builder is for everyone of all ages. It is. It's for everyone of all ages. My little girl comes, my little seven-year-old, she shares Jesus with anybody. She'll tell anybody about Jesus. She'll tell anybody about church. I told y'all about Halloween, and Halloween, her favorite time is passing out candy. She'll go trick-or-treat and she passes out candy. She wants to do that. She don't want to walk around the neighborhood asking for people dressing up like weirdos. She don't want to do that. She wants to stand at the door and invite people to church. She seriously, the night before Halloween, asked me, "Dad, don't forget to bring invite cards home." She's seven. Because when she passes out candy, she throws an invite card in there. Somebody says, "What's this for?" She says, "So you can know about my church." That's what she does. She did it. It's awesome to see that. I love seeing that thing, that part of it. Our kids, Our kids in Kids Church, they talk about kingdom builders, which you might hear referred to as kingdom kids. You might hear those phrases when your kids come home. Our youth will talk about it, and we will talk about it. Kingdom builders is about three main things. Ready for this? Salvation of man is always number one. Obedience of believers and generosity produced by the blessing that comes from obedience. That's the three things that kingdom builders, that make up kingdom builders. It always begins with our desire to see people saved, right? That's what everything starts with, our desire to see people saved. Now, here's what Jude says. In the book of Jude, it says this, save others by snatching them from the fire. Save others by snatching them from the fire. When we get our minds wrapped around God's love for us and for other people, we can change the world. That's when it comes into the divine revelation or the vision for the church. The vision for the church is not to build a new building. That's a goal. The vision of the church, the divine vision and revelation of the church has always been, what do we need to do to reach more people for Christ? That is the whole point in the church. That is the whole reason we do what we do. So let's talk about kingdom builders. Kingdom builders starts with tithing. Uh-oh. A lot of people just went, I'm tuned out, I'm out of here, I'm going home. Let me rephrase it a little bit. Kingdom builder starts with obedience. That's what it starts with. It starts with obedience. I know, money again, right? Yes. Because I've said it 100 times, God talks about money a lot, so we should too. God talks about it. If we're going to be a full gospel, which we are, right? We're full gospel. We're going to preach from the front to the back. That's the kind of church we are. If we're going to be a full gospel, whole Bible believing church, we have to talk about every topic found in this book. Every topic. It's important to understand that we cannot be true kingdom builders if we don't tithe. You can't be a kingdom builder if you don't tithe. You can't be. You can't be a kingdom builder if you don't walk in obedience when it comes to the money part of stuff. Younger generations represented in the church are extremely vital to growth, and they need to understand biblical tithing. They need to understand this. Now, I'm not saying they need to understand how to give. They need to understand the reason behind it. They need to understand what obedience leads to, because obedience leads to blessing, and blessing will lead to generosity. If you're blessed and you know blessing from God has come upon you, you will be generous. You will develop that within your spiritual walk. But you first have to get to the basic point, and that's obedience. Obedience is the first part. Scripture that show tithing predates the law. It predates the law. We look at, well, that's the law. Listen, it predates it. In Genesis chapter 14, Abram gave a tenth to show that God was his source and that all his success was due to God's blessing. So he gave it back. At the end of his victory, Abraham could have thought that it was all him. But instead, he gave back to God in humility with an attitude that says, God did this. Abraham tithed out of love for God and a desire to acknowledge him as his source. Jacob followed Abraham's example. In Genesis 28:22, Jacob made a declaration saying that God is the Lord, and he began to tithe. Listen to this. Tithing predates the law and is a matter of the heart. I used to go to this church, man, and we were actually on staff at this church where we had pews. Remember pews? So you remember pews? These big wooden things that weigh like 600 pounds, you know what I mean? You had to cut them in sections to move them. But at the end of every pew, there was a plaque with the family's name on it. I mean, 25 rows of pews, there's a name at the end of every one. I asked the pastor, so what's the names for? I was new in ministry. I didn't understand what people do. The name at the end of the plaque was the person who donated the money to buy that pew. Okay, so for years, I thought that was just that's what we do. So we need new chairs. Who would like to donate the money to get chairs? We will put your name on the chair. Is that how the church works? In this same church, we had a deep freeze. You know what I'm talking about, deep freeze, right? We call them deep freezes in the South. I don't know what y'all call them. Ice box, I don't know. Chest freezer? chest freezer. We had a chest freezer. And somebody screwed a plaque on that freezer with the family's name on it. Because they donated the money to buy. That's not generosity. That is dictatorship. You don't think dictatorship can happen in church? I'm going to give money, but you have to do this first. Is there strings attached to your giving? If there's strings attached to your giving, blessing will not fall on you. God does not operate that way. Tithing. Your tithing, you don't withhold tithing because the pastor said something you don't like the week before. Right? Generous giving in the New Testament is a type of giving that is above the tithe. It is more than 10% that's required by God. Tithing is a mandate. Generosity is kingdom building. A kingdom builder understands that while we are here on earth, we are here to build the kingdom of God. When we grasp a hold of generous giving, we can accomplish this mission much faster. Every year, we have a financial goal above and beyond giving. Last year, now listen, I'm gonna have a moment of confession. I shot for the stars. I'm going to be vulnerable with you right now. I came before you guys and I said, our kingdom builder goal is $200,000 above and beyond tithe. Now, I know. Like, wow, that's a lot. It is a lot. And I was shooting for heaven. I've come back to reality a little bit since then. But I want to share some numbers with you about last year, okay? Last year, we gave $29,400 to Kingdom Builders, which was above and beyond the tithe. See, these are moments where you clap. Yeah. We're going to get a little excited today, okay? Is that okay? We're energetic today. We've got it. Like, you know, I'm at that point where I'm tired, so I've passed the whole I want to take a nap to I'm hyper. Have I ever been there before? It's kind of like you don't eat for a long time, you eventually don't become hungry. We gave $23,046 to world missions. Yeah. Our youth and kids have a combined giving to missions, $13,090. That's our kids and our youth. That means our church altogether gave $36,136 to help spread the gospel around the world. It's all about souls. Kingdom Builders is first and foremost about souls. In 2023, now listen, remember I've told you before, debt is not something that's fun, right? Nobody likes debt. Nobody likes paying off debt, right? Don't we wish we could just have an unlimited credit card and never have to pay it off? Wouldn't that be awesome? In 2023, we paid off $129,760 in principal payments to reduce our debt. Are you ready? By over $500,000 in the last 3 years. In the last 3 years. Our Edgemont campus gave $4,699.48 to missions last year. You got to think, this is 40 people, okay? Our Sturgis campus gave $6,434.12 to missions last year in 2023. These campuses also saw salvations, outreach opportunities, and opportunities to bless those in need throughout their community. How about our Cornerstone campus? Saw 85 salvations in 2023. Not only that, Kingdom Builders is financial generosity carried by a wave of kingdom-minded people. Keep that in mind. Over 3,000 people were served at our Cornerstone campus, served meals last year. Over 3,000 people in our community. This year, in 2024, this is our goal for Kingdom Builders. $50,000 above and beyond our tithe. That's above and beyond. I'm going to break it down a little bit, okay? Everybody like breakdown, right? Okay, break it down a little bit. If every person here were committed to give $25 per month to Kingdom Builders, based on 300 people, above and beyond the tithe, because if you are not tithing, you have to learn that discipline first. $25 per month would exceed our goal of $50,000 by $40,000. So it would almost double it, just $25 a month. To put it even let's break it down a little farther. Roger, you like me to break it down, right? I'm gonna break it all the way down. If everyone gave $13.89 per month, we would meet our goal. $13. That's two coffees per month. Not per week. I know you addicted people. Not per week, not per day, but per month, two coffees would impact our world and our community for Jesus. Just two. Now, listen, I know this is stuff that salesmen say. I'm not saying it as a salesman. I'm saying it as the pastor of this church saying, listen, we have got to put a focus on reaching people. We've got to put a focus on reaching people not only here but around the world, and we can do it. So there are two major projects I want us to focus on concerning world missions. We'll start there. World missions. There's a girls' hostel in Mirpur Kamrup district in India, okay? And I'm going to show you a picture of what this looks like on the screen if we have that. Do we have that picture? I want to do $10,000 towards that project. And that project, if you look at the one on the left, that's what it looks like now. If you look at the one on the right, that's what it will look like finished. This is in India. Here's what happens over there. We partner with a ministry called Priority One. You've probably all heard me talk about that a little bit. They build Bible schools around the world so that people can be trained, because what they're finding is people are getting saved, but there's no training. And they're called into ministry, but there's no training for them. So they're building these Bible schools where these people go and they live in these buildings. And they live in the dorms, and just like a regular college would be here. And they train them to be disciples. Did you know in Tanzania right now, in Africa right now, to be considered to be an ordained pastor, you have to have a 4-year degree through one of these colleges and have planted 3 churches before they will ordain you as a pastor. That's a lot of work. But here's what it does, because I sat there a couple years ago. I sat there in Tanzania and watched 675 men ordained. I watched them tremble and weep as they were being ordained, because they knew the work they put into it to spread the gospel. They knew what they had already planted to spread the gospel, and they were being recognized for it at that moment. And I saw a lot of them just fall to their knees because they knew what it meant. These people are serious about winning souls, and I want our church to be a part of that. Here's the second project, a children's school in Burkina Faso, Africa. Here's the picture of this. This is what it's going to look like. All right? I want to do $10,000 towards that too. Because see what this is a way for kids to be discipled as well. Because this is not just your school, the run-of-the-mill school. This is a school with intentionality to raise up young people to serve Jesus in countries that are predominantly Muslim or other world religions. These buildings are used to train pastors and leaders, as well as teach the word of God to people in these countries. That's the whole point. Kingdom Builders is about souls. It always has been. Tim Dearburn once said, "The church does not have a mission for God in the world. The God of the mission has the church in the world." In other words, it's God's mission. We are put here to fulfill it. It's not our mission that we hope God blesses. That's not what it's about. So let's talk about local. In 2023, we relaunched our Bethel Teen Center, where during the week, middle schoolers from North Middle come here and fill our building. This has been a safe place for them to come and hang out and have positive mentorship through the leadership of Isaac and Hannah, who are right here. If you don't know them, they're right there. And our partnership with Love, Inc., we have been able to offer structure and positivity to hurting and lost students. We have also seen about half of those who come to the teen center integrate into our youth ministry, where we have seen more than 15 of them come to know Jesus personally. And if you want to stick around, for second service, you're going to see one of them be baptized. But don't take it from me. I want you to watch this video. I want you to hear from them. Thank you.
My favorite part about the teen center is hanging out with family and friends.
My favorite part about the teen center is playing basketball and going to groups to learn about Jesus.
I like the people who work here and my friends.
My favorite part about the teen center is that you get to meet new people and you get to talk to the awesome staff members like Hannah, and I get to hang out with my friends.
Wait, which hand? Let, okay. I choose to come to the teen center because I get to see friends and interact with people that I like interacting with.
The reason why I come to the teen center is because I see friends, more friends and socialize with people I haven't met yet.
I come to the teen center because it's a safe place to hang out here.
My favorite part about the teen center is the people.
I chose to go to the teen center because I needed to be somewhere safe after school and just to try something new.
Am I looking right at the camera?
You're looking at him.
All right. The reason I come to the teen center is because to hang out with friends, like the other guy said, and because a lot of people here, they connect easier with other people than outsiders.
The reason I come to youth is for the prayers and mostly God.
Yeah, I come to youth, and the reason why is so I can get closer with Jesus.
I come to youth because I can learn about Jesus.
I come to youth because I'm not a Christian personally, and I like hearing other people's views on things because I want to become a psychologist, and one part of that is understanding people's decisions and their beliefs and all that stuff. So I like hearing from different people's religions and point of views on things.
I go to youth group because it's cool to see other people sing and seeing how good they are at singing.
I come to the youth because to respect Christ.
I come to youth because it has helped me in life, and also it was something to try something new, and also it helped me accept Christ.
I come to the youth group because I want to learn more about Jesus Christ.
Accepting Christ impacted my life a lot because as soon as I accepted him, I started seeing good deeds come into my life.
Yes, I made that decision because I can be close with him.
Very close.
When I accepted Christ and how he impacted my life, it was helpful. It helped me to be a better person, and it helped me not be so stressed, and someone to talk to if you can't talk to anyone that's at home.
Accepting Christ in my life made me feel more happier.
Accepting Christ has allowed me to see good in people.
I've accepted Christ because he's good.
Knowing Christ has me be a better person.
I was lost. I didn't know what to do, and God, he showed up in my life, and I was on the deep, dark side. And now that I have found him, I am now on the bright side.
That last young man will be baptized in the second service. That's what Kingdom Builders is about. Reaching every demographic with the gospel and impacting the kingdom. We'll also be presenting throughout the year outreach opportunities for you to get involved in, for us all to do it together, to serve our community and to reach people. From serve days to events that impact our community. Last thing I want to share with you is future. The next phase of Kingdom Builders is our future. Debt reduction, although not a lot of fun to talk about. It's a necessity for more ministry to happen. It's a necessity. I think that's why God showed me that 3 years ago. He said, you have to get out of debt. We have to. We can't have this monkey on our back. We can't have this stuff because more ministry can take place. Imagine what you could do in your personal life if you had no mortgage payment. Think about that. What a relief that would be. Amen?
Amen.
And those of you who don't have mortgage payments right now, can you think back to when you did? The same is with the church. The same is with the church. If we can eliminate mortgage payments, if we can eliminate this debt, it would free our church to give more to missions and projects like we just saw in Africa and India and outreach. I talked about it last week, but I'm asking you today to believe with me. Believe with me. Believe God. Every person from kids to adults have an opportunity to become kingdom builders. A kingdom builder is someone who gives any amount over their tithes, from $1 to $1 million. Everybody say yes. Anyone, listen, anyone can learn generosity and walk in our calling to do so. This is up to you. Today is about looking ahead. That's what today's about. We can never forget that the mission of the church will never change, to bring people to Jesus and disciple others and encourage spiritual growth. I'm believing God this year. I'm believing 2024 is going to be an amazing year. I'm believing Him for increase. I'm believing Him for increase in souls, in attendance, in finances, and in ministry opportunities. My challenge for you today is that you believe Him for these things as well. Like I said last week, I cannot ask anyone to believe for me. You can't ask anyone to believe for you, so it's all on each one of our shoulders. For us to believe together, we have to have a divine revelation of God. Throughout Scripture, we see instances of people hearing the voice of God, but not recognizing that voice until there was instruction. Samuel heard the voice of God, but did not know it was God until he was instructed by Eli in 1 Samuel 3. Gideon had a physical revelation of God, and he still doubted what he had heard to the point of asking for signs in the book of Judges. Go read it. We have to realize today that we have something that Samuel and Gideon did not. We have the complete word of God and the Holy Spirit that was sent by God to instruct us. We have those things. Belief. This is a simple word with huge implications. It's huge. When you believe, things happen. When you believe, God shows up. When you believe, your faith is built. Believing God is not focusing on the things that He can do, but rather on focusing on understanding Him and His character. I want God to do amazing things, not so I can see things, but so that I know and others know that God showed up. One of the number one questions I get as a pastor is, how do I know when God is speaking to me? You might be asking yourself, what does this have to do with vision? Without knowing the difference, listen to this, without knowing the difference between God's voice and others, you will never fully walk in the vision that God has given you. And you may not even know when He has given you one. So, two questions you have to ask, and I am flying and I'm hurrying up, I promise. Two questions you have to ask. Do I spend time in prayer? That's one. And do I spend time in the Word of God? Do I spend time in prayer? Do I spend time in the Word of God? Not just moments where you read passages, but those moments where you set aside time to really read it. God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:8 to meditate on His Word daily so that he'll be careful to do everything written in it. If Christians would consume this and let this consume them, then we would do everything written in it, right? Our success, our vision, comes only through the voice of God speaking in our lives. In closing, this is what we can do. You can do three things. You can do this. Ask God to show you what it looks like to give in a way that changes and challenges you. Number two, commit to give. Our goals can be reached with 100% participation. Two cups of coffee a month, 100% participation. We are kingdom builders. Building the kingdom of God and having a part in people around the world coming to know Jesus. You know, when I was in Africa and I saw those buildings that we helped build, there was a connection there. I felt it. I was looking at them going, man, people are going to be changed because of Bethel Church in Rapid City. People in Africa. And the third thing is this, pray, pray, and keep praying. Pray that God would multiply our efforts to carry out the mission to see people experience life change through Christ. That is kingdom builders. That is what it's all about. It's not me up here blasting off about, hey, give, give, give. It's me coming up here blasting off about, please help us to snatch them from the fire, to reach souls and to win people for Christ. That's it. That's what I got. That's Kingdom Builders. Can I pray today? Let's pray together. I'm going to encourage this. I'm going to encourage you to do this. I'm going to encourage you to ask God in this short time of prayer before we're closing, I promise. But in this short time of prayer, ask God, say, what are you speaking to me? Maybe he's speaking to someone in here and saying, this is what I'm speaking to you. You first have to understand obedience, and you have to understand what tithing is. Then you can be a kingdom builder. But others, he's saying, be a kingdom builder. Start today. Be a kingdom builder. What is God speaking to you? What is the number in your head that God may be speaking to you right now? Jesus, let us hear your voice. Lord, your word says that your sheep know the shepherd's voice. Lord, today I just ask you to speak to every person in this room. Speak to those watching online. Compel us to give in ways that maybe we didn't think we could, but we know that you're calling us to. Let us hear your voice. In this time of prayer, in this time of meditation, in this time of just being silent and thinking, God, let it be the voice of God that we hear. And Lord, we believe people like the young lady on the video that said, I'm not a Christian, but I still come. We're believing salvation for her. She will come to know Jesus. And I speak that in the name above all names. These kids on this video that haven't made that decision yet, these kids that come to the teen center, they will find Christ. We're believing that today. Lord, we're believing for all these things that we've talked about today. We're believing you for it because it's you that's got to do it. Birth in our hearts a burden, a desire, a passion to build the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
If you would like to learn more about our church or give to our ministry, please visit our website at bethel.ag.